verses in the Bible is Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, which says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what I attach to all of my letters and anything else that I'm doing. When I sign my name, I put Philippians 4:13 underneath it. That's kind of my theme verse, I guess. But and you know, what I often think about is I can't do anything in and of myself. But I can do anything and everything that God wants me to do, because He will give me the ability to do so. That's why that verse sticks up, because I can't stand and preach without God. I can't discern the Word of God without Him. I can't help others to understand the Word of God without Him. So really, folks, it's not me, it's Him. You know? It's Him. So I'm just a thankful man this evening. I told you this morning we were going to talk about being a difference maker. I think that we are in the end times. I believe that with all of my heart. Prove it, I can't, other than to tell you from what I read in the Word of God that the Lord could come back at any moment and it would be fulfilled. I'm not a Bible scholar, but I have been a student of the Word for most of my life. C.W. Box made sure of it when I was younger. And then I took a hiatus as a teenager and decided that I was going to go and do my own thing for 10 or 12 years. And then God said, nope, you're coming right back around, big boy, one way or the other. I come back kicking and screaming, buddy. But I come back. And I've tried to be a serious student of the Word since I was 27, 20, and now I'm 58, about to be. So I've tried to be a serious student of the Word for the past 30 years. And as I study, if there has ever been a time that God's people needs to be making a difference in the world that we're living in, it's now. How many of us have family and friends that are lost without Christ? There's your urgency. Tonight I want us to see what Paul had to say in Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Please stand for the reading of the Word. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Pause just a moment and let's pray together. Father God, I once again come as humbly as I know how, just praising your holy name. And God, I do want to thank you for the second greatest gift you gave to man, Jesus being the first. And God, you gave us your love letter, your holy word, so that, God, we're not left here to our own vices to try to figure things out on our own. Lord, you've spelled it out for us. We have it, Father, right in front of us. God, help us to be students of this word so that we can learn and we can grow. And the way that we need to learn and grow is how to become more like Jesus every day. So God, help us tonight as we study your word together, that we will become more like Christ because of what has taken place here this evening. Above everything else, Father, we need to see Jesus high and lifted up, exalted as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Help us, Father, to humble ourselves to you. Help us to be obedient. And at the end of this, Father, help us all make the commitment to be a difference maker where we live. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I think that deep inside all of us, that there is a desire to know that our lives have counted, that we've made a difference in ourselves, in our families, in the lives of other people around us. I think that that's pretty common in most people, that we want to make a difference. This was what Paul wanted for the Philippian Christians. In our text, he says that he wants to rejoice in the day of Christ, that he has not run in vain, neither labored in vain. He wants to know that his efforts on them hadn't been wasted, that they had become difference makers in the world that they're living in at that moment. In the first several verses of this chapter, Paul focuses on what believers are to be inside the body of Christ as they are interacting with one another. You'll find that in verses 1 through 5. And now Paul begins to talk about what our impact should be on the world here in verses 14 through 16. The question today is, do we really want to be difference makers? If we do, then there's some things that we're going to have to consider together this evening. There's some things that we're going to have to look at. And so what I want us to do is to kind of do a walkthrough and study these things that we need to understand and know if we're going to make a difference in the world that we're living in right now. The first thing we're going to look at is the conduct of a difference maker. The conduct of a difference maker. Just before our text in verse 13, Paul says that God works in the believer, first of all, both to will. Now that will there means giving him a desire and to do God's good pleasure. So then in our text, Paul begins by saying, do all things. Do all things. Folks, the Christian life is a life of doing. There are a lot of people who think that the church is here for them. Big mistake. The church is not here to serve you. You are here to serve the Lord and the church. Amen? Thank you for that. A lot of people would have given me an ugly look and walked out in some places, but I got a big amen there. The Christian life is a life of doing. It's not a life of sitting, it's a life of serving. We are to be doers of the word, and faith that doesn't result in some kind of service is dead, according to James. Amen? So we're to serve. But there is a way that we are supposed to serve, according to Paul. There is a manner that we are supposed to conduct ourselves. And Paul said that manner that we are supposed to conduct ourselves is without murmurings and disputings. Now, what does that mean? That word murmuring means whispering or muttering. It speaks of private complaining and grumbling. One of the most unbecoming things a Christian can be is a chronic complainer. Always finding fault, never content, never happy. You ever been around somebody that just griped all the time? Do you want to be around them? Me either. Constant gripers and complainers, I wish they'd just move to the next county. They get on my nerves quicker than anything in the world. I read about this monk who entered a monastery. And he agreed to take a vow of silence. Y'all, that would be hard for me. My mouth runs wide open most of the time. I can't help it. I don't have much of a filter. It just goes. But anyway, this dude, he said he took a vow of silence. And he could only speak two words every 10 years. After the first 10 years, he was brought before the leader of that monastery. The leader of the monastery said, okay, you've been here 10 years, you may speak your two words. He said, okay, bed hard. All right. Another 10 years rolls on. He comes before the leader of the monastery. You've been here another 10 years. You may speak your two words. He said, food bad. Another 10 years rolls on. He comes before the leader of the monastery. And he said, okay, you've been here another 10 years. You can speak your two words. He said, I quit. The leader said, well, it doesn't surprise me at all. You've done nothing but complain for the last 30 years. There are some Christians who never seem to speak unless it's a word of complaint about their condition, somebody else, or the church. All of us have our complaints from time to time. Don't get me wrong, and some of them are legitimate, right? But some people just constantly complain. Complainers, the point I'm trying to make is that complainers are seldom difference makers. Usually they're on the sidelines criticizing the people who are trying to make a difference. So don't be a grumbler. Don't be a griper. Don't be a complainer. Be somebody that's willing to step up and say, you know, I think this could go a little bit better if we did it this way. Be a part of the solution instead of part of the problem is what I'm trying to say. You know, Israel's greatest downfall was their constant complaining. Remember that when they were wandering around the wilderness? They didn't believe God. They didn't believe that God had given them the promised land. They believed these other guys who said, we look like grasshoppers in them folks' eyes. We can't go take that place. But God had already told them, all you got to do is go in, it's yours. You know, lack of faith, complete lack of faith. And then they get out there and they begin to gripe, grumble, growl, and complain. You know what happened to them eventually? God consumed them. The complainers, the gripers, the grumblers, and the growlers, he just consumed them. He said, I've had enough of this. Are you belly aching and complaining? I've had enough. So listen, when we constantly complain, we're saying, you know what we're really saying? We're saying, God, your provision is not good enough. Your intentions are unjust. Your grace is not sufficient. Really what we're saying, God, I don't trust you. So to overcome complaining, we have to trust our God. If we're going to be difference makers, we can't be complainers and disputers. Now that's the conduct of a difference maker. Next, let's look at the character of a difference maker. Look at verse 15. Said that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You know, in recent years, society has asked the question, does character really matter? A large portion of our society has concluded that character is not that important as long as a person has the ability to do their job. You can go and act like whatever you want to as long as you make me money. Y'all get it? But folks, make no mistake. To God, character is everything. If we're going to be difference makers, we have to become people of character. Paul says that we are to be unblameable there in verse 15. What does that mean? Well, in that word, he is speaking of who we are before each other, before man. I've heard people say, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I'm me and I'm going to be me and you can just take me or leave me. I don't care what you think about me. But listen, if you're a Christian, you better care. The lost world is looking for something to discredit your testimony so that they can reject your Savior with a good conscience. Gandhi said this, He said, I don't refuse Christianity because of the Christian scriptures. I refuse Christianity because of Christians. That's an old me instead of an amen, isn't it? Next, Paul says that we are to be harmless in verse 15, which means pure or unadulterated. It was a term used to describe wine that wasn't watered down or metal that didn't have any alloy in it. If unblameable speaks of who we are before men, then harmless speaks of who we are before God. Why do we need to be pure before God if we're going to be difference makers? Because if you're real, you'll last. You ever seen somebody that just on fire, wide open for the Lord, just going wide open, and then all of a sudden they fall off the map? You haven't seen them, you haven't heard from them, and Lord knows when, you don't know what happened to them. Well, they forgot about being harmless, is what happened. They forgot about being pure before God. And as long as we'll stay pure before God, we'll last. Now, does that mean we're going to be perfect before Him? Last time I checked, there was only one perfect, and he died on the cross a little over 2,000 years ago. The rest of us are stuck in these old sinful mortal bodies, right? It doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect before God. It means that we're going to be pure and open before God. It means that we're going to be willing to say, God, here I am. I'm not trying to sew fig leaves together and hide anything from you. It's just me, bare before you, God. Because we think in our wise minds that we can hide things from God, don't we? We think we can slip around, sneak around. We think that maybe because we're hiding it from each other that we can hide it from God too. Boy, aren't we silly. You can't hide nothing from God. He sees all. He knows all. He wants us to be pure before Him so that we'll understand it. He already knows. He knows what's going on with us. He wants us to be unblameable. He wants us to be harmless. What else? Well, He wants us to be unmistakable. Now, I know that word's not in verse 15, okay? But let me give you the words that are there and you'll see what I'm talking about. He says, the sons of God, right? So what point am I trying to make? We are to be unmistakable children of God. What is it that primarily identifies us as children of God? Well, Jesus said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if you have what one to another? Love. That's exactly right. So, the way that we can be unmistakable children of God is to love. I hit on that this morning, didn't I? This seems like a theme, doesn't it? God is talking to us a little bit here about the way that we're supposed to love one another. But not only one another, we need to love the world around us. We need to show them something that the world is not going to show them. The world will never understand us until they come to know our Savior. Doesn't make sense. When I was working in the secular world before God called me into full-time ministry, I was working on a job, and one of my supervisors came around, and he and I were pretty good friends, and he was talking to me one day, and he said, I'm confused about something. He said, I know I'm making racket. He said, do you really give 10% of what you make to the church? And I said, no. I said, I actually give more than that. But that's my business. I said, 10% is for the beginners. I said, if you want more blessings, you give more. You can't outgive God. His scoop's bigger than mine. When I scoop in, He scoops out, and His is bigger than mine. You can't outgive God. He just scratched his head. He said, man, that makes no sense to me. He said, how in the world do you get by giving up all that money, just giving it away? I said, I'll promise you, I'll live better on the 90% than your 100%. I said, because I've got God's blessing on what's left of mine. Folks, the world don't understand us. We make no sense to them. It's just confusing to them until they come to know Jesus. And then once they come to know Jesus, they get it. That's why we need to be loving on folks and showing them grace, like we sung about, and showing them mercy. You know, we should expect lost people to act like lost people, shouldn't we? When we ought to get shocked is when people who say they're Christian act like lost people, right? But sometimes we get so shocked at lost people acting like lost people. Remember, they're lost. They're without Christ. They have no moral compass. They're living in a dog-eat-dog world, and they're going to be top dog if they possibly can. They don't understand the love of Christ. That's where we come in. Just loving on them and showing them what it really means to have true compassion and care. And remember that we could not have it were it not for the forgiveness that Christ gave to us. So we're not better than them. We're just blessed. We're just blessed. What else did he say? He said that we are to be unblemished. And that ties everything together. Of course, we're not going to be perfect until the day that he comes back and gets us, right? And carries us into the presence of the Lord. And that's when he tells us that we're going to be transformed into that perfect body. Woo, glory. No more hurting. I can get up and down out of the floor without my knees popping and cracking and saying, oh, that hurt. I can raise my arms above my head in praise without saying, oh, that hurts. I look forward to that new body, that perfect body that he's going to give me. I'll have me a head full of hair too. I'll bring my old mullet back. Yeah, I used to have one. Riley, I had, shame to say, I had a good ponytail back in the day. We're not going to be perfect until that day. You know? But this is what we've got to be striving for in his strength. This, what I've shared with you tonight, is what we are to be becoming every day. Working toward. Now, some days I'm a loving, kind guy. Other days I'm a jerk that somebody ought to whoop. But that's all of us. Don't sit back there holier than me. You know you are too. We all get that way. We have our good days where we're on top of the world and God is real with us and we're walking with him. And man, it feels so close that we think we're going to touch him sometimes. Then other times we think we might hear him echoing over in the next holler, right? Sometimes we're walking with the Lord and we're living like we ought to. Other times we're, yeah, I knocked that off. I got plumb wound up, didn't I? Other times, things are just not right. A situation has come along. We're struggling. We're having difficulties. But God knows that. God knows that. And that's why he keeps telling us, be pure before me. Just keep coming before me. Just keep coming open before me. I'm still here. I haven't gone anywhere. You can't go a place in this world that I'm not with you. Sometimes you think I'm not there, but I am. I'm with you. That's what we are to be becoming. Next, let's look at the context of a difference maker. The context of a difference maker. There in verse 15. What am I talking about? It says, where the context of it means, where are we to live this life? Inside the church? Yeah. At a youth function? Yeah. Church socials and get-togethers, and y'all have a good chili cook-off that I can come to sometime. If you don't, y'all need to start one up. Them things are good. Church socials, yeah. But it's not just here. Paul tells us, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We're supposed to live this life right in the middle of a crooked and perverse nation. If there was ever a crooked and perverse nation, we living in it. We're there. Right is now wrong, and wrong is now right. But folks, this is right where God wants us. To reach these people for Jesus. These are the people that God loves and Jesus died for. Now, we may not like them. We may not like the way they look. We might not like the way they act or the way that they talk or their lifestyle choices. We may not like it. But liking and loving are two different things. And we have a responsibility, whether we like somebody or not, to love them enough to share Jesus with them. You see, it's not my job to change people. A lot of times, we want to see people change on the outside before God does any work on the inside. Do you know that's impossible? Can't do it. Only when God makes the change on the inside will that translate to the outside eventually. We're just supposed to be that light. Just shining Jesus. Not looking down on people. Not feeling better than people. Because we've got something that they don't have, or we know something that they don't know. Not anything like that. Just letting that love of Christ shine out of our life so that maybe, just maybe, they might want it. You love on somebody long enough and through some things, eventually they're going to want what you've got. Sooner or later, they're going to look at you and they're going to say, how can you smile through that? How in the world can you deal with that without killing somebody? How can you take that and go on? How do you do that and it opens up an opportunity to say, I can't? But let me tell you about the one who can through me. And folks, if nothing else, when you go out into this world tomorrow, just smile. If you'll smile, at least it might cause somebody to ask you what you're up to. And then you can say, well, let me just tell you why I'm smiling. I saw the ugliest bald-headed preacher yesterday at church you've ever seen. And he was hopping around like a wild man. Y'all should have seen him. But he was telling some truth. And then you get to share Jesus with somebody. Make people wonder about you. I do that all the time. I walk through stores and I see everybody. How y'all doing? Just grinning like my grandpa used to say, grinning like a possum eating sawbriars. God has us here so that we can shine as lights in the world. If we're going to be difference makers, folks, we're going to have to be in this world. Bible tells us to be in the world but not of the world. Remember that? We don't have to partake in what they do. But we got to interact with them. Jesus did. He got accused. What was it he got accused of a gluttonous man, a wine bibber, and a friend of publicans and sinners. That's what they said about Jesus. Hanging out with drunks. He must be a drunk. That's what they said about Jesus. He just loving on them. That's all. That's what God wants to do. Just love on folks. Now, what's the contribution of a difference maker? That's the last thing I'm going to talk about tonight. The contribution of a difference maker. Verse 16 says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Paul says we're holding forth the word of life. That's powerful, isn't it? A little bit scary too, isn't it? Our lost friends are dead spiritually, and the Bible says they're headed to eternal destruction. We've got the word of life. We've got the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says that we need to be holding it out like a lifeline. Thought about something. Say we're down at the lake swimming. Just having a great time. The youngin' gets out there in deep water. All of a sudden, they start going up and down. They're screaming and they're yelling, help me, help me, I'm drowning, I'm gonna die, help me, help me, help me. I'm standing here with one of these round things, floaties, got a rope tied to it. All I've got to do is toss it out there. Let them grab hold. Pull them in. Save their life. If we applied some of our spiritual logic to that, that child would drown because I'd never throw the life preserver out there. Well, I don't know if I need to get involved in that. You know, he kind of got himself out there on his own. He can find his own way back. What are people going to say if I throw this out there to him? He's never been nothing much but trouble anyway. What are they going to say? What if I start hanging out with him? If I pull him in? What are they going to say? Maybe it's better if I just leave well enough alone, and if he makes it, he makes it, and he don't. Now, folks, if that was your kid out there bobbing up and down the water, and I'm standing here with this life preserver, and I choose not to throw it out there because I just don't think I need to get involved at this time, what you gonna do? I would hope some of you daddies come over and beat my eyeballs out, because I'm about to let your youngin' drown. We got a whole world out here drowning. And we're holding the life preserver and we're standing around trying to figure out whether we should get involved or not. Is it politically correct for me to get out here and try to win people to Jesus? Nope. Is it socially acceptable for me to try to tell people about Jesus? No. Are there consequences to it today if you start sharing Christ in a public forum? Yes. Is it worth it? Yes. Because maybe, just maybe, somebody's going to find eternity with Jesus. The stakes are high. Do we want to be difference makers? Can we be a doer instead of a complainer? Can we allow God to mold our character? Can we forsake what could bring accusation from the lost? Will we allow God to examine and purge our life of the things that only God knows about? And we've all got those things. To say we don't, we'd be setting ourselves up on a pedestal that somebody's going to kick out from under us at some point. Will we befriend a lost person? Will we share our faith? That's how we make a difference in the world that we live in. People say, I just don't know. I'm just not good at talking to folks about stuff like this. You got a testimony? Preacher, I don't know. If you're saved, you got a testimony. And if you'll ask God to bring people into your path that you can share your testimony with, you know the strangest thing in the world happens. He'll do it. But we let Satan scare us to death, don't we? We just let him scare us to death. Folks, we used to sing a song when I was a kid at Harmony Grove Baptist Church. And one of the verses is, we'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work. Till Jesus comes, we'll work. Till Jesus comes, then we'll be carried home. That's our job, y'all. Everything else is secondary to being a difference maker for the kingdom of God. We do everything else in this world to provide, I said it this morning, to provide us the means to be able to do what God has called us to do. Whether it's our job or whatever else it is, we do all of that in order that we will have the means to be able to do what God has called us to do. I hope that all of us make the commitment tonight to just make a difference in our world. You know what? I'm sure y'all have heard this said before. If each one of us, how many people y'all usually have here on, say Sunday morning? Y'all know? 300? One, okay, all right. 150 people. If 150 people in this church committed to win one person to Jesus over the next year and bring them to church, do y'all realize that by next year y'all would be having to think about building a new sanctuary? Because this church would double in 1 year. Probably more than double, because once families start seeing Jesus in their family, then mamas and daddies and children get saved. And so that one person could turn into four or five people. So the church could double or triple in 1 year if everybody would just smile and share Jesus with somebody. But doesn't that sound a little bit sad to say, I only led one person to Jesus this year? We ought to be so excited about Jesus, we can't wait to tell folks. Let's be difference makers. Church, this is an amazing thing that God is doing here. I mean, you're out here in the middle of the woods. Okay? Y'all are out here in the middle of the cotton fields and the woods and the sloughs. And God's planted him a church here, and it's growing. But don't you think that Satan ain't trying to rip this rascal up? You got to make up your mind, church, just to be who God's called you to be. And you got to make up your mind that you're going to make a difference where you're at. Now, I don't ever want to close out a service without first telling you that if you're here without Jesus tonight, I want you to know He loves you. I want you to know that He died for you. I want you to know that if you'll accept Him as your personal Savior, that you'll be saved just like I am. If he can save me and use me, He can save anybody and use anybody. And I want you to know that He is the greatest thing that has ever happened to me. But I also want you to know that He can be the greatest thing that ever happened to you. And we're going to have just a time of invitation tonight. And this is for anyone who might be lost. If you want to get saved, I can't save you, but I know the one.